It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Burt Rotin has worked with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for 37 years, and this month he will retire as senior managing editor. But before he goes, he's published an opinion page that was dedicated not to his career, but to the growing distrust between government, media, and the public. Burt Rotin joins me in studio now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming in. I was struck by your decision to what normally newspaper people will use to look back over all the best stories of their career, right? And hit the highlights. You chose not to do that. Why?
I want to leave the world with sort of a last thought, you know, and I was inspired a little bit by the idea of a final address and that kind of thing that you got from outgoing presidents to sort of warn people about the this thing out there that could consume us all if it's not paid attention to. And I worry a lot about the breakdown between trust in institutions, which I'm not the first one to notice that institutions are suffering from public trust, lack of public trust these days. But it's really important to me to sort of, as a capstone of my career, to send a warning that this is dangerous. We're in uncharted territory, not just because of this administration, but because of a lot of factors that are out there undermining the way that we operate as a country.
So we're going to go much deeper into that, but can we look back just a little bit over the last 37 years?
Sure, but generally speaking, that involves drinking beer and hanging out. So we can do some of that this
live
morning.
On the air. But I mean, it's been nearly four decades since you started in newspapers, and the newspaper business has changed for the better. Do you think, or?
You know, it's an interesting question because I believe, and people may disagree, but they'll just be wrong. I believe that we're a better newspaper today than we were when I first started. We were much bigger. The newsroom was bigger, but we were so much less focused. And we right now, because of the efficiencies we have to reach and because we use things like research, which used to be unthinkable in newspapers, I think we produce day in, day out, not just a great newspaper, but a lot of great journalism in digital spaces, and even we do a pretty good podcast, too. So I think the sum of that is we serve our audiences better than we used to because we're more focused on serving them, and so the net of that is pretty good. I think we're at a break point where, as a staff, we can't shrink much more. As we can't lower our ambitions, despite the fact that the demands of the internet do sort of force you to lower your ambitions a little bit. But overall, I feel pretty good about where we are.
So when you started at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, it was 1981.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter was president.
He was
Going president.
He was on his way out.
Yeah, and Ronald Reagan was coming in.
That's right.
Let me think. Warren Burger would have been Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
I believe so. But you're beginning to. I'm a journalist, not a historian. So
I just wanted to establish how much has changed since then, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because do you think trust in government has changed since the days of Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan?
I mean, I think. Obviously, Jimmy Carter came into office as a result of Watergate to some degree,
yeah.
As a restoration of trust back then, for whatever you think about Jimmy Carter. What drove the public to elect him was a desire to regain trust in government after the Nixon administration and the Pentagon Papers and all that went on with Watergate. And so I think the big difference to me is that there was always this sort of, if you couldn't trust the government very well at a national level, you could at least trust the institutions like journalism to help write things, to help straighten things out, because we would tell the truth about whatever was going on with the government. You could lose faith in the government for a while, but then you could regain it because you had a trusted sort of source of information who you could then gain the information you needed to act on as a citizen to begin to restore. So there's a nice, healthy sort of cycle that I think now doesn't work as well. And the other thing I would say is that what used to be a lack of trust in the national government is now pretty deep into the system, where people don't trust their counties, they don't trust their school boards, sheriffs, state legislators, the kind of people who used to be sort of trusted heavily by citizens now. have sort of been caught up in the same thing.
And it's interesting you bring up Watergate, but let's bring another voice into this conversation. Carol Doherty is the director of political research at the Pew Research Center. Their most recent studies confirm there is a lack of public trust in government on numerous issues. Hi there, Carol.
Good morning.
So let's first establish whether or not this is a trend. Has trust in government been trending down?
Actually, it's been low. By low, I mean around 20% saying they can trust the government in Washington to do the right thing for about a decade. The federal government, yes, for about a decade now. It's been very low.
And I wonder if that's connected. Other research also shows that Americans were at an all-time low, actually, for trusting each other. Do you connect those two?
There's a general lack of trust in institutions, as Bert said, that's been going down, and the government, and even interpersonal trust is lower than it was.
And you would connect those two?
I think some of those things are connected. I think it's a complicated issue about how they're connected and what trust means in the current era. You know, does it mean something different than it used to?
So let me go back, Bert, to your point about Watergate, because during Watergate, trust in government fell, but trust in newspapers and journalism went up because, in fact, it was the press that brought that to light. And we have all these films glorifying great journalistic tributes at the same time that trust in journalism is low. Why, do you think?
I think that there is there's an awareness of this breakdown, and I think that one of the ways that a society responds to it, and a culture responds to it, is to do things like, you know, celebrate the things that were sort of good in the old days, so to rekindle those feelings now. I mean, if you look at Spotlight and The Post, the two really recent journalism movies that have been out, which I don't know why anyone but me would actually like them, but crowds seem to like them. They go back to some of the core virtues that I think most journalists believe that they practice in being, you know, honest and straightforward and careful and work with nuance in the kind of the way that we portray the truths that we find. And I think that there's a longing for that. I think I see a lot of research where people do want depth and people do want to have a context around things that they feel that they need to understand better, like their government and society and that sort of thing. People long for that, but they can't find good sources of it.
Let's hear a comment from a former researcher at the Pew Research Center. This is the late Andy Kohut. He's speaking on PBS NewsHour, and he's talking about how distrust in government is sometimes a partisan issue.
Now, this is mostly being led by a trend among Republicans, especially conservative Republicans. That percentage is 76%, but it's a really very powerful attitude. It has to do with worries on the right and in the middle as well that the government is encroaching on them.
So, I mean, what do you think here, Carol? Because is some of the distrust in government fueled by sometimes political stump speeches, right? Sometimes criticizing the government is used to motivate voters.
Well, that's true. I think what's kind of different in the current era and the current numbers is how this crosses party lines. I mean, you would expect Republicans to be a little bit more trusting in government. They are today. They do control the government. But only 22% of Republicans say they trust the government in Washington versus 15% of Democrats. So it's kind of a bipartisan feeling, and it's been that way for a while, as I say, since the late Bush era.
There's nuances, though, Bert, in this distrust. Let me play this comment from Edward Snowden, famous for becoming a whistleblower, and he's explaining some of the issues he has with government in an interview for NBC News.
And right now, when they're watering down reform bills, when they're pretending they want to institute new controls, but they're not really committed to it, when they're saying, oh, there have been no abuses under this program, but they won't talk about the other programs under which there have been real and serious abuses, that's misleading.
So how far do you see this distrust going? And when I say it's nuanced, it's because there's not wide, broad political, voter support for Edward Snowden, for example. So it sounds as though the distrust goes so far and no further.
Yeah, I mean, I think the essence of what he says is right. I think that part of the problem is over time that the kind of concerns that drove him to become a whistleblower have not been taken seriously in Washington, and I think that that has fueled this sort of cycle of distrust. I also think, to Carol's point, to put a finer point on it, I think we're all now part of this toxic opioid of cable news, which has only done more damage to the sense of community and not just Fox News, which we all like to beat up on. I think CNN is its own sort of toxic force. That
Atlanta's own.
Absolutely. Just down the street. But I also think that there's a certain toxic force that they have. And a really small example. So yesterday, we spent the whole day on CNN. I know this because I drove up from coastal Georgia and listened to it, and GPB all the way. We spent this whole day parsing Sarah Sanders' words about...
Sarah Sanders, the White House press secretary.
That's right. Her words about Rob Portman's, you know, departure and all this. Important, no question, but there's a lot going on in the world. And there's a huge transportation program being proposed by the White House that if you live in Atlanta, is a big deal that needs to be understood and needs to be explained. If you live in the whole country, it's very important, but it maybe got 3 seconds time in the middle of this constant sort of storm over trying to parse, you know, the stuff she said, which is important, but it isn't the only thing in the world.
So is it wrong, Carol, to assume that distrust is a bad thing? I mean, there is a certain amount of healthy skepticism about government that's part of the American way, is there not?
Absolutely. It's part of American history. It goes back to the founders about skepticism of government. On the other hand, it can be potentially dangerous if there's a major crisis and the public needs to trust the government to do the right thing, and the trust isn't there.
And Bert, you obviously, your op-ed, which I encourage people to read, feel that this is a dangerous thing.
I do feel it's dangerous because at some point, I mean, the basic idea of our country that sets it apart from anything else in the world is this idea, this simple proposition that an informed citizenry will make good decisions about who represents them and the representatives are held accountable by the people. That is a fundamental concept that distinguishes American democracy from anyone else on earth. If you break that, if you finally break that, then our country doesn't really work. You won't get representative democracy that's held accountable. I think we're experiencing a lot of that now already. I don't think it's beyond repair, but it is certainly damaging, and we can all see the failure of government right now to actually be able to do anything largely because of this.
So let me play a comment, Carol, from Rohit Malhotra, a community organizer and entrepreneur in Atlanta. He's given a TED Talk in this clip. He makes the point that government can and should be more present in people's lives.
Trust starts with empathy, and empathy comes with us seeing each other more. So government, we can't just see you at the inconveniently located 3 p.m. town hall meeting or the next ribbon cutting. We gotta see you at the barbecue. We gotta see you at the school board meeting. We are the center of your world when it's election time. But the second the cameras are off, you cheat on us.
Carol, is this a pendulum? In other words, there's a high distrust in government and media at this point. Will that swing back the other way naturally?
It's hard to know. It's hard to predict. Again, it's been so low for so long. One of the interesting things is that, you know, in the past you saw a bit of a correlation between positive economic news and higher trust in government, say, during the Bush, not a great deal higher, but somewhat higher. But now you have a better economy, still low trust numbers, so that hasn't improved things.
What do you think, Bert? Will this swing back on its own?
No, it won't swing back on its own. I believe... Of course, I would say this because I'm a journalist, but I believe the solution to this is really great journalism. I think that you can regain trust with people, you know, one story at a time, well done, well thought through, executed fairly. Every time people experience that with journalism, I think that it helps to put a brick back in the wall. And I also think, based on our own research, that there is still a reasonable level of trust in local media. You know, it's almost
right.
Like
people
the dynamic.
Don't trust the media in general, but
right.
They trust their own source.
That's right. It's like the perennial studies that they do on Congress. Everybody hates Congress, but their own congressman's okay. So we have some of that to build on. And, you know, I use this description that we're sort of farm to table. You can see what we make it locally, and you can see our names on it. And so I do think that we can work this way out of it, but there is a long way to go. But I think if we can begin to restore trust in institutions on a local level, that as an aggregate, one day that will probably benefit everybody.
Okay, so we only have about a minute left, but I have to ask. I mean, clearly you still really care about all this stuff. Are you ready to sleep in and not be checking the news feverishly every day?
Honey, go get a cup of coffee for a minute and let me answer the question. and happy Valentine's. You know, not totally. I mean, I it's time for me to retire. And
that honey, by the way, who couldn't see the studio, that was to your wife, not to me.
That's right. That's right. But I'm not ready to completely leave the field because the battle's not ready, not completed. But it's time for me to leave the paper. I've got a home on the coast that needs me, and I have a wife who needs me. But I still want to be active. I'm still going to be. I have a role at the newspaper going forward, and I'm. This is now my new passion in retirement.
That's Bert Rotin, the retiring senior managing editor for the AJC, and Carol Doherty, director of political research at the Pew Research Center. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
And Bert, good luck with the home on the coast.
And I'll still be able to listen to GPB down there.
Absolutely. We are statewide, of course.